everybody. My name's Amanda. I'm one of the pastors here at Park Ridge Presbyterian Church. I'm excited to welcome you to today's online worship service. I'm glad you found us online and decided to worship with us today. Today we have a one-off message before we start a new message series for Advent. Advent is the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas. But today is a one-off message to help all of us as we make this pivot and turn into the holiday season. Before we get started, let's pray. Good and gracious God, we give you thanks that you come and meet us where we are. We pray that you would meet each of us exactly where we are today and speak tenderly to us, encourage us, help sustain us through what might be some busy or hard or long days. We pray this all in your son's name. Amen. So how is everybody doing? Are we okay? Are we okay? You might be like me and have little kids and you made it through the Halloween hustle of trunk or treats and trick or treating and changing minds about costumes. We made it through a presidential election. Holiday concerts are already coming on the schedules. And if you are a part of our church, we just wrapped up a really successful capital campaign season. So we're done, right? We have done the things and we can take a nap. Of course not. Of course not. We're right on to the next thing. With Thanksgiving coming this week and the holidays shortly after, people are thinking about holiday travel. They're thinking about football games and family gatherings and Black Friday deals. And it doesn't matter whether you would like to hold off decorating for Christmas until the day after Thanksgiving or not. Our shelves in every store have been stocked with Christmas decorations and holiday food for weeks now, just with their very presence reminding you that you are not done yet. There is one more thing coming, so get busy, stay busy, start preparing. Even today in our very own church, after the worship service, we are having a Deck the Halls Christmas decorating party. Because we have to prepare, we have to get ready. We want our church to look beautiful and festive for all of our Christmas activities that we're hosting. I love this season, I do. I love the lights, I love the decorations. I love that our homes become bright with decorations and decor. I love that it gives us a reason to get together with our family and friends. I love the busyness of the season a little less. I don't appreciate the extra pressure to make everything festive and fabulous all the time. I don't appreciate the expectation to have perfectly decorated homes or holiday coordinated outfits or that super sweet and not at all chaotic Christmas decorating with children activity. And that's just the superficial stuff. Some of us just don't need one more thing right now. We all know people who are fighting cancer and navigating their day through a cloud of depression. People experiencing infertility and managing anxiety, declining in health or cognitive ability. We know people overwhelmed by caregiving and pinned down by grief. You know the stories, you hold these prayers. Some churches have a tradition of holding a special worship service around this time called a blue Christmas service to hold some space, to create the opportunity to name some of the things that feel hard about the holidays, to allow us to walk through seasons of grief and hardship when it looks like Santa's workshop threw up everywhere we go. This isn't a blue Christmas message per se. But before we jump on this runaway train that is the holiday season in North America, let's slow down. Let's slow down long enough to consider what makes all of this worth it in the end. And how do we make sure we don't miss out on what's most meaningful about this season? What's most necessary? To help us consider these things, we come to what might be a familiar story to you in Scripture, a story of two sisters visited by Jesus. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42 tells us, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, and indeed only one thing. Mary has chosen the better, and it will not be taken from her." I wonder how many of you have heard this story before. If you grew up in church like me, you maybe heard it in your Sunday school classes or in sermons in church. And if you were paying attention, you probably saw some church ladies nodding as Mary leans into Jesus with her resentment and her frustration for all the work that she's been left alone to do. "Lord, don't you care?" I kid you not, while I was working on this message, I stopped to take a break and scroll on Facebook like you do, and an event came up in the Parkridge Moms Facebook group, and the name of the event was offered by Empowering Her Path, a group run in the community, a business in the community, and the event was called Empowering Her Path, Rewiring Mom Rage. The description of the event said, "We've all been there. Laundry is piled up. We've had a stressful day at work. Dinner is running late and the kids are wired. And then it happens. Mom snaps. We yell, scream, maybe cry, and everyone freezes. And then the guilt and shame." The event offered by these businesswomen in town, these therapists, are to help women who are struggling with all the mounting pressure, all the spinning plates of the holiday season. I couldn't believe the coincidence, and maybe the Holy Spirit works through social media too, because this event is describing the exact outburst I'm imagining Martha having with Jesus in front of her sister Mary. Too often, it's the kind of experience that I know I've had or I've witnessed or we've seen or we've been a part of. And too often, we're too ashamed to admit it, and so we don't know what to do with it. The holidays create this extra pressure cooker, most of the time for women, especially for moms. And if we're not paying attention, if we're not taking care of ourselves, we can spend the whole holiday season anxiously buzzing from one thing to the next, maybe with the occasional angry outburst, and we might miss it. We might miss out on the joy. We might miss out on the real gift of this season. Some preachers have made this scene between Jesus and the two women to be very cut and dry. Mary sits with Jesus, good. Martha gets mad and is distracted, bad. But it's not that simple, is it? Hospitality was so important in the first century Jewish culture. Martha was doing exactly what was expected of a woman in her position. Her job was to open her home and take care of her guests to make them feel welcome and to meet their needs. Food was usually a part of hospitality, so it's assumed that when Jesus and the disciples stopped at her house, she got busy preparing a meal for them. Jesus, in his own teachings and ministry, upheld the value of hospitality, pushing the bounds even farther to extend welcome and hospitality to people nobody wanted to share a meal with. So we would expect Jesus to recognize and celebrate the servant-like hospitality that Martha was demonstrating. It's really Mary who's doing the unexpected thing for a woman in that time. She took a seat at the feet of Jesus, an act that would have been reserved for men and would have been like sitting at the foot of a rabbi, of a teacher, to learn and to listen. And that's the position that Mary takes here. Jesus allows her to stay and listen and be with him. One pastor pushes back on this simplified tension between the sisters, reminding us that it's just a snapshot of a family moment. Did Martha always take her hosting responsibilities so seriously? Or did she sometimes let her sister do more? Did Mary always sit with the company, or had she spent plenty an afternoon in the kitchen and was taking this opportunity to sit with this special guest? Did Martha always snap at her sister in front of their company, or was this one moment of feeling so overwhelmed and she couldn't take it anymore? People are complex and dynamic. We can all be more than one thing at one time. In the midst of this tense moment, Jesus speaks, "Martha, Martha." Jesus knows her and calls her by name. "You are worried and distracted about many things." Jesus knows and names her feelings. It is so important to notice and name the way that we're feeling. Martha is worried. Martha is working hard. Martha is also distracted by the work. Jesus' encouragement to Martha and to the rest of us is that there really aren't that many things that are necessary. And what is truly needed is already in the room with them. And she's missing it. The presence of God was in that home. The love of God was right in front of her. And she couldn't see it. She couldn't recognize it. And she couldn't tell in that moment that it was more important than what she was busy doing. My guess is that whether we are men or women, parents or not, young or old, we have had an experience where we miss that one thing. And we wish we could get it back. We wish we could go back in time and be more present, have paid attention more. My invitation for us as we make this turn towards the holidays is to reflect on that one thing that's really needed. Jesus invites us to consider how he might be that one thing that we really need. Being loved by him, being with him, is the one thing that is, in the end, necessary above all else. Maybe you don't really know where you are in your faith. You're not really on a faith journey, and you don't really know who God is or what Jesus means to you. Maybe somebody just made you watch this YouTube video. So you're not ready really to ask yourselves this question in terms of your relationship to God. Maybe you just need to think about what it is that you really need. We can spend our time so busy, so numbed to what is going on all around us, to what we are really feeling, that we don't even know when somebody asks us how you're feeling, how can I help, what do you need? We don't even have an answer for that question because we haven't sat with ourselves in that moment for a long time. What do you think it is that you need right now? And is that what's consuming your attention, your most important need, what you're committed to the most right now? Or do you also find yourself distracted and caught up by the expectations of others, by the busyness, by the comparison trap of the internet? What might it look like for you if you gave yourself permission to not do some of the not necessary stuff? What if you gave yourself a break? What if you took some time back for yourself? Do you think you would feel more free? Do you think you might show up as a better version for yourself, for your friends, for your family? As we think about holidays, I think about all of the people that are making holidays happen for us. Every table that we're going to be gathered around from Thanksgiving to New Year's is made possible by somebody with the gift of hospitality. People with the gift of hospitality, they anticipate needs, they think about your comfort, and they serve endlessly until they feel like everybody is taken care of. And that's a beautiful and selfless and holy gift. And also, it's tiring and sometimes thankless and sometimes goes unnoticed. I think that's what Mary was feeling in that moment where she exploded on Jesus, wanting him to do something about this work she felt like she was doing on her own. Have you maybe felt that way around your own holiday tables? Have you maybe been complicit in letting somebody do all of the hosting, all of the serving, so that you could sit and be present with your family? My invitation for us is just to go into this next week paying attention with eyes open and to notice who is serving selflessly and who is sitting present with guests. Both are important. Both are holy acts. Both are things that Jesus models for us. I think where we get into trouble, I think where people get hurt, and where people get burnt out or feel unappreciated is when we're not paying attention and we're not taking turns getting to experience both sides of that gift of hospitality. I don't know what tables you're gonna be around this holiday season. I don't know if they're tables you're excited to be around or maybe a little nervous. I invite you to ask for God's help as you enter these gatherings and to pay attention and to bring with you whatever gift of hospitality you think you have. And maybe you've been the one who's been doing the serving for so long. And maybe this year you just need to be on cups and ice. Maybe you're not making turkey this year. Maybe you're not making homemade pie. Maybe you're just getting cups and ice so people's beverages are cold. And that too is hospitality. Friends, I hope you have a wonderful holiday season. I'm excited for you to get to celebrate that here with us at Parkridge Presbyterian Church. Even if you've never come to worship with us in person, I hope that Christmas might be the first time that you take a step into this community. But as we gather and as we serve, I invite you to pay attention and have eyes that notice the gifts of hospitality all around us. Let me pray for us. God, we give you thanks that you are with us wherever two or more are gathered. God, that whether we are going into holiday spaces that are full of a lot of hard things and empty chairs, whether we're carrying heavy things, God, we know that you are with us in those spaces. And whether we're looking to the holidays with a lot of joy and a lot of expectation, God, would you help our attention and our purpose be on the things that are the most important. Help us to not be so busy and so distracted and so caught up in the event that we miss your presence with us and what is most necessary. We pray this all in Jesus' name.